I'll try again. But we've been praying here on 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the mornings. What we did a bit of a sneaky one on the devil. If you ever want to get into spiritual warfare, think about what the devil would have for you and do the opposite. So, you know, the devil would have us not pray during the holidays and goof off and all that kind of stuff. So what we did instead is we decided we're going to pray more. So instead of cancelling the prayer meetings court blank, what we've done is we've just let people know that if they want to come down here and pray in the morning, we're praying from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock here, Monday to Friday. And it's just as, you know, as you feel led to by the Spirit of God. And what we've been praying about is we've been praying for two things. We've been praying for revival of the church and transformation of the community. And so first of all, what's revival? And I had a few quotes about what a revival is, and I don't think I'm even going to be able to find them. But that's okay. Maybe if I'll just search revival and see what happens, eh? Revival. No. Interesting. I'll check my phone later on, see if there's any notes on my phone. But a revival is when the Spirit of God turns up in the church and people go from lukewarm to on fire for God. It's when the church of God goes from backslidden to serving God 100%. It results in people's lives being challenged around areas of sin in their life and that kind of stuff. It affects the areas of compromise and religiosity and that kind of stuff that can come into people's lives. And what it does is the church becomes refreshed, and there's normally a tangible presence of God in the place where people actually feel the presence of God. There's demonstration of God's power, that kind of thing. So often accompanied with repentance. And who knows that repentance is not just for the people outside. Repentance is for the church. It often is accompanied by a change of mindsets and change of attitudes and a hunger and a passion for God, and all that kind of stuff comes in. So I had lots of different quotes about revival that I've lost, but it's when the Spirit of God actually saturates the church. And so the kind of things that happen during a revival is people get more hungry for God, they get more hungry for the Word, they get more hungry for prayer, evangelizing becomes more of it always results in evangelizing, always results in people going out and sharing the good news. Often there's healings, there's deliverances, that kind of thing. And it brings the church into a place where God can really use the church to affect the community around, because that is the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to bring the gospel to the community. That's you know, when you go to heaven, you won't be witnessing or evangelizing in heaven. Right? So that's the work of the church here on the earth. Everything else, fellowshipping, worshiping, praising, all that, we continue that in heaven, but what will cease is sharing the good news. So revival comes into a church and takes a church from a place of compromise. And I mean, even good churches need reviving, but certainly dead churches need reviving. But good churches need reviving and bringing more fully into the purposes of God. So that's what we've been praying. We've been praying that there'd be a great outpouring of God's Spirit on the church, on this church, because God's on us. You know, because God starts somewhere. It's okay praying for other people and all that, that's good. But it's got to start somewhere. Not to say that we're the only church that will be revived, but it's got to start somewhere. So we've been praying for us. We've been coming here 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock each morning the last 2 weeks, praying for revival. Sometimes there's 3 or 4 of us here. Sometimes there's 6. Sometimes there's 10. Just whoever can come and gather. So we'll be doing that again this week. And you're welcome to come down, even if you just come down for a few minutes. And As people start going back to work, like some already have started to go back to work already, you know, we're going to adjust the times. So it could be that some come down at 6:30 and pray to 7:30. It could be that some come down from 6 and pray till 7. And eventually, what we hope to have is prayer and worship 24/7. That somewhere, that probably in this place, that there'll be teams of people that are praying and worshiping God right around the clock, praying for revival, seeking God, that sort of thing. So I encourage you to come. So and the thing too about revival prayer meetings is they can become quite exciting. In fact, revival prayer meetings, one of the marks of a revival prayer meeting is the presence and the power of God actually in the prayer meeting. And, you know, because you can go to prayer meetings that can be boring. Who's ever been to a boring prayer meeting? Yeah, I'd rather stay at home than go to a boring prayer meeting. But what's been happening is as we've been praying in our prayer meeting, various ones in the group are starting to get revelation, get prophecies, get visions, and that kind of thing. You know, they're like the gifts of the Spirit, as Matua Ivan was sharing. So one of the saints came to me the other day and said, Pastor, can I pick your brains? I said, well, that won't take long. And they shared with me what they had seen in the spirit realm while we were praying. And this is a person who's just a young Christian and doesn't know all the lingo and all that kind of stuff. So I was really interested to hear what they had to share. They said what they saw while they were praying was two golden trumpets. And I might get a little bit wrong, but this is what I recall she said to me, was she saw two golden trumpets being blown by angels while we were praying. And that the sound of the trumpets, the sound that was coming out of the trumpet, were the words, the prayers of the saints. And I said, well, that sounds to me like the Spirit of God would be showing us that. Showing us that as we're praying, something is, that's a sort of a short version of it, that showing us that as we're praying, something has been activated in the realm of the Spirit, that the words that are coming out of our mouths are actually words that are being blasted, if you like, into the spirit realm. So I said to our sister, you know what? The Bible says a lot about trumpets. You know, you go through into the book of Revelation, there's stuff about trumpets on there. You go right through the scriptures. There's things about trumpets all over the place related to prayer, related to worship, related to warfare, related to all kinds of different things. And many, many of the apostles and saints and prophets have had visions of angels and trumpets and that kind of thing. But the one that took great interest was Numbers chapter 10, when Moses gave instruction to the Israelites. The Lord gave instruction to Moses. If you got your Bible, you might want to turn there. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy, where God actually said to Moses to make two silver trumpets. Okay, this person's vision was gold trumpets. This one in the scriptures is silver trumpets. Look, we've got three bottles of water. I'm trying to figure out which one's least likely to have. Yeah, I bought one. I'm just looking to see which one's least likely to have backwash in it. Can I use these? Great. They're mine too. I'm on to a good start. My own glasses, my own drink. So we're in Numbers chapter 10. And we're just going to look at verses 1 through to 10. And we see that God gave Moses instructions on these silver trumpets. And this is the time in the history of Israel, that they had come out of Egypt, and they're heading to the promised land, and they were basically nomadic. They had tents, and there was 12 tribes, and they would camp around the tabernacle, which was a large tent, and in that tent was the presence of God, right? So Lord says to Moses in chapter 10, make two silver trumpets for yourself, and you shall make You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the assembly and for directing the movement of the camps. And when they blow both of them, all the assembly shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Right. So there, right there we see the first purpose of these two trumpets, and that was to gather the people together for to come around the tabernacle, to come around the presence of God. And what I wanted to declare to you this morning, that as we're praying and as we're seeking God for 2020 and for the future of our church and for our community, a sound is going out in the spirit realm that is gathering people together. You know, like, I don't know, it could be just because people are being kind to me and I'm a pastor and all that kind of stuff, but I'll be talking to people and they'll say things like, I've been thinking about coming to church. Or, when do you meet again? I've got this one guy, every time he says to me, what time does the church start? 10:30, Sunday morning. Yeah, I've been meaning to come. I said, well, you're very welcome, Matua. We'd love to see you. Okay, yeah, I'll come along. You know, there's a sound that's going out into the realm of the Spirit that's drawing people. And they may not even understand what it is. They may not even recognize that it's the Spirit of God, but it's like a stirring in their spirit. Yeah, I feel like I need to get to church. I feel like I need to do something. I feel like I need to gather together. Now, the interesting thing is with the tribe of, with the nation of Israel, if you know anything about them, there was 12 tribes. Judah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Ephraim. We could go right through that. Dan, there was no tribe of George. Yeah, there's 12 different tribes, and they would camp around the tabernacle in their formation, like Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim on one side, Reuben, Gad, Daniel, like three, I think it was, groups of around the tabernacle. But when they heard that sound, they knew there was. They knew where to go, and they knew where to meet. And I want to say something about the body of Christ in Kaikohe. You got, well, even if you take New Zealand, you could say that, like, on one side, you got Celebration Centre, Destiny, Elam. On the other side, you may have Assembly of God, Baptist, Apostolic. And on the other side, it may be, I don't know, Church of Christ, Brethren, various denominational groups and groups that meet together. So we need to know what tribe that we're part of, but we also need to understand that we're part of a nation. Yeah. We're part of the body of Christ. But when you hear the trumpet sound, you get with your tribe and you meet around the presence of God. Right now in Kaikohe today, you know, I love it. I like to drive down the main street and I see all the TT Destiny guys getting all together and all that. And they're so awesome. They're putting up their posts on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. And I love seeing what God is doing there. And I know, you know, down the road, you've got the Baptist Church doing their thing. And then down Hickey Street, you've got Paul and the guys at Mount Zion. And, you know, there's other various groups that are forming. And some going strong, some not so strong, all that kind of stuff. But nevertheless, there's a trumpet, the trumpet sound that goes out, and that means gather together. Yeah. That's what that sound means. When you hear that sound, it means come out of your tent and go to the tabernacle, go and gather together. So praise the Lord. Great to see you here this morning. Great to see that you heard that trumpet call and you got out of your tent and you moved. And the purpose of our moving and our gathering is to gather around the presence of God. Amen? It's not to gather around the personality. It's not to gather around anything else, but it's to gather around the presence of God. But we gather in our tribal grouping, the first trumpet sound. And I want to tell you that as we're praying, things are stirring up in the spiritual realm. There's unbelievers. There's people who haven't been in church for a while. There's all kinds of different kind of, if you want to put it, different, well, I was going to say classes, but not so much, different kind of, you know, people that are at different stage in their spiritual walk, But there's a sound that's going out. There's gathering in the people, gathering in to Jesus Christ. And there'll always be something that'll try and stop you from gathering. The kids will play up. You'll get the flat tire. The rallies will decide to visit on that particular day. There'll all be something will happen. The tide will come in. The fish will be biting. You'll hear the fish calling you, come and catch me, come and catch me. The water pump will break. You have to go and fix the pump. The cows will need milking. All kinds of things will happen. But I want to encourage you, when you hear the trumpet, Jesus said this, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Let him hear. So we should come to our local fellowship, our local gathering, whether we're gathering with Gad, whether we're gathering with Ephraim, whether we're gathering with Judah, whether we're gathering with Benjamin. We're gathering unto the Lord, and we should come with an expectancy to hear from God, with an openness to hear from God. What's the Spirit of God saying to our tribe at this time? What's the direct, what's God saying? So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What we're going to do is we're going to, I said to Monty, man, do we have any trumpets? No. Now we're thinking, do we go and get the Ratna guys to bring their trumpets down? Or do we go and get a saxophone? The cash said, oh, Mr. Prickett's got a Bruegel. You know, Monty's gonna, because I believe that this is a word from God. That you've heard something in the realm of the Spirit. You're like, nah, I only came here because my mum said I've got to come to church today. No, you heard something in the realm of the Spirit. See, the Bible says deep calls unto deep. And it is, I'll never forget that. When I was a teenager, I used to have a habit of wearing a long coat, a trench coat, and I'd go out partying, and I'd go out drinking in my coat, and I would have a bottle of vodka 9 times out of 10 in the pocket. And but then when I got saved, when I got born again, there was something in my spirit that, man, I wanted to get with the people of God. And I would walk and sometimes even hitchhike to church. I had people say, oh, we'll come and pick you up. Too easy. Too easy to sit at home waiting for someone to come and pick me up. So I would get up and I'd walk up Estelle Road, if you know that road, with my thumb out. And I remember walking and I had my coat on and I could feel it moving as I walked of the weight. And I looked down and there in my pocket was my Bible. I had my Bible in my pocket and I was off to church. I'd heard the trumpet call. I'd heard that it's gathering. Give that person a high five next to you, because for some of you, it was a bit of an effort to get here this morning. Who was a bit of an effort to get here? Yeah? A little bit of an effort to get here, yeah. Yeah, like it all just didn't happen automatically, like, you know. All right, praise the Lord. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask Monty. Monty said, oh, I've got a conch shell. And I think he said it belongs to Michelle, but or belongs to some kapa haku. But he says, I'll learn to play it during the week. I said, awesome, brother. So I haven't even heard it yet, but we're gonna stand up, we're gonna blow the shell. But also I want you to stand up too, and I want you to get involved in this. And I want you to speak out, because you know that Paul said, wage a warfare according to the prophecies that were made about you. So when there's a prophecy, when there's a word from God, what we're meant to do is not go, oh, that was a nice word from God, and do nothing. We're meant to actually pray it. So what we're going to do is we're gonna blow the conch shell, and we're going to pray. Pray in tongues, pray in English, pray in whatever language you want, but let some noise come out of your mouth and some words come out of your mouth. And what we're doing is we're increasing the sound of that trumpet voice in the realm of the Spirit, because there's some people who'd be lying in bed hungover this morning or working or whatever, and it's like, wow, what's that? I hear something, It's the Spirit of God. Call him. Let's be upstanding. There's five trumpet sounds. This is number one. There it is. Hallelujah. Father, we just release that trumpet sound into the realm of the Spirit this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the calling together of God's people. Lord, all over this town this morning. Lord, for you bringing your people together. Father, we thank you for ears to hear what your Spirit is saying at this time. Lord God, and Lord, we just say to the body of Christ at this time, wake up in Jesus' name. Hear the voice of the Lord. Gather together. Worship Jesus. Amen. Bless the Lord. No, we've got some more. Have a seat. We do have some more. But is that your backup there? Oh, praise the Lord. We might need the backup. Excuse me if I'm laughing. The second sound that came out, so they would have had two silver trumpets and it would have been or something like that. When you heard that, you stopped what you were doing and you gathered together. Right, the second one, down in verse 4. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. The first trumpet sound was the gathering of the saints together at the tabernacle. The second trumpet sound, the second type of sound that came out of the trumpet, what it meant was just the leaders get together. Now, what I want to say to you this morning is that many of you are called to be leaders. Many of you are called to lead your families, to lead yourself, to step out from the crowd. And there's a pressure, particularly in New Zealand, we have this, what they call this tall poppy syndrome. And this kind of thing, we all like to be the same. We don't like to sort of draw attention to ourselves. You know, we don't like to excel too much and all that kind of stuff. There's a temptation for mediocrity. But I want to say, even in this church, there are some leaders, some people who have dropped their sword, dropped their calling, put their ministry to the side. And God, the second trumpet call is saying to you, you need to pick that up. You need to pick up that leadership call. You need to pick up the call of God on your life, and you need to gather together, and you need to deepen your commitment to your ministry and to what God has called you to do. You know, what we need is we need people in the body of Christ who are able to step beyond the status quo, who are able to make a commitment to go deeper and further into God and be used of God, to be able to actually become an example and become a leader to those around them, an influencer, somebody that is able to actually take some responsibility and show some leadership and show some initiative and show moving forward. So, you know, we're gonna put this out on the iPod and all that, but there's this call of God saying. And I want to say this, that probably everybody in the Celebration Center here in this church is called to lead in one capacity or another, because this is a church that is meant to be influencing our communities and our families. And the whole thing about leadership, you say, oh, well, because Paul says, he who desires to be an overseer desires a noble thing, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And you say, oh, well, I don't want to be a leader. The thing is, we're being a leader. What it does is it increases your influence on other people. So that's a good thing, isn't it? When you're leading, you can actually reach more people for Jesus Christ. You can minister to more people. So that's a good thing. So sometimes it's a little bit selfish to actually sit back and not take responsibility and not to step up to the challenge. So I speak to the leaders in this church this morning, and those of you, particularly if you're a leader of a family, that it's time to step up. This is what the Spirit of God is saying. It's time to pick up your weapons again. Time to pick up your calling. Don't be looking around thinking, oh, someone else will do it. Someone else will do it? No, someone else is not going to do it. Yeah, you're called to do it. You're called to move forward. You're called to, you might be waiting for your husband. You might be waiting for your wife. You might be waiting for whosoever. You know, doesn't mean that you get out of order and you get rebellious and proud, but it's time to step up and to move forward. So there's a spirit, a trumpet call saying time for the leaders to arise. You might say, oh, I'm too young. No, you're not too young. You might say, I'm too old. No, you're not too old. And you're not too dumb. You're not too whatever. All those excuses, God's hand is upon you. And he's called you. Say to your friend next to you, God's hand is upon you. Yeah. God's hand is upon you, Caroline. Yeah. Talia, Tilly, God's hand is up to we. We need to step up. We need to move out of our comfort zone and go forward. That's the second trumpet. Let's blow the second trumpet, Monty. Yes, Lord. Father, let the leaders arise in Jesus' name. Lord, let them pick up their weapons. Let them go forward. Let them take people with them into the kingdom of God, advancing the kingdom of God here in Kaikohe and beyond. Praise the Lord. Now we're getting in the flow. So the first call was the call for the whole church to come together. The second call was for the leaders to come together. The third call, verse 3, when you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not the sound of the advance. So verses 5 and 6, the third sound was the sound to advance, the sound to move forward. See, the temptation, when you're camping, the temptation is that to get comfortable. You know what I mean? You find yourself a nice camping site. This is good. Now, some of you do that. What do you call it? Glam camping. Take the fridge. You got the sky disc going. You know, got the air conditioning. Everything in the tent. And they got the blow-up mattress and all the whole deal. Queen-size bed. Sounds a little bit like the Taco Bay camp. They get the Northland scaffolders to come down and build a jetty and build this and build that, and just becomes a permanent thing. And they don't want to go home to their own house. It's so awesome. Same thing in God. We can get to that place of being so comfortable, you know. God's met our needs, you know. There's a bit of blessing around our life. We're into a bit of a habit or a routine of church life, and things are good. God is good, and it's lovely, and it's comfortable, and all that kind of thing. And we can fall into this trap called complacency. We can fall into this trap called ease, and she'll be right. And we don't want to move forward. We quite like it where we are. You know, there's some churches and some Christians that if they were really honest, they don't want their church to grow. If they're honest, like everybody says, yeah, we want the church to grow. But if you ask people, now be honest, do you really want the church to grow? What if some people come in here that you don't like, or some smelly people, or some people with problems, and oh my goodness, you know? Or some people who are maybe more talented than you, or what if somebody's sitting in your seat next Sunday, or you can't get a car park, sometimes you can have we know everybody, we know their names, we're comfortable with them, you know, we're comfortable with church how it is, and we're comfortable and all that sort of stuff, and And even in our relationship with the Lord, we're comfortable with what we're doing in the, you know, then Sunday, we just got our Sunday, we go to work, we do this, we do that, pay our tithe even on Sunday, and it's all just nice and comfortable. And if it gets uncomfortable, oh, let's go look for another church, you know. The church, yeah, there's a church down the road. Not so much in Kaikoura, you don't have that many options. But in the city, you got lots of options, you know. People go to, oh, I'll go to that church because it's only an hour and a half and they've actually got a really nice cafe and they've got a good kids program, and we'll go to that church and it's really comfortable. We'll go to that church because they've got air conditioning and the seats are nice, and I quite like the music and the pastor's really funny, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We find a comfortable church where we feel comfortable in. Yeah. The Lord, as we've been praying for the church, the Lord's shown me, you know, there's, you see them, I don't know if there's one on State Highway 1, you know how you got that fire season thing, and there's like an arrow, and in the green or blue, it's like low risk, then it comes up to medium risk, and then it goes around like that to extreme risk of fire. You see them on the side of the road, and there's sort of like three sections, like low risk, medium, and high. And the Lord was showing me that the most of the church are in that area of mediocrity, me included, in that area of comfortableness and complacency and ease. Well, I want to disturb you today. I want to disturb you. It's time to get out of the place of comfort and ease and move forward in God. That means taking some risks. That means changing. That means change. And change can be uncomfortable for us. Yeah. Do you want a heart?